This is American Fashion Podcast. I'm Charles Beckwith here with Kathy Sheppas.
Hey, everyone.
And our guests in the studio are co-founders of a company called Cup, C-U-U-P, and they're making undergarments. Abby Morgan is here. Hi, Abby.
Hi.
And Kiernan O'Maloney.
O'Maloney. Hey, Charles.
Hi.
Hi.
My job is to get the guests' names wrong. That's my entire job on the show.
Nailed it.
Excellent. Okay. So Abby and Kiernan, you also have two other co-founders.
Yes, we do. We have Lauren Karras Cohen, who is essentially kind of leading all things aesthetically from a brand vision perspective. So you can really see her aesthetic across all social, product, everything like that. And then we have Kristen Ferrari. Who essentially leads all things product, so is responsible for creating our assortment, planning, and kind of really looking at different innovations in product, fabric technology and things like that.
And what are your jobs? How do you divide up your responsibilities?
So I'm chief marketing officer. So I essentially kind of lead all communication strategies and figure out kind of what is our story and how are we going to tell that effectively?
And I'm the CEO. So I keep the lights on and the wheels turning. So anything to do with sort of finance and operations and planning and supply chain and factories and whatnot.
So tell me a little bit about the company. What do you do that's different in this space?
So we set out to start Cup, with, you know, one thing that I think is really special about the team is we've got this team of cross-functional experts, and everybody really came in with a kind of innate curiosity around whatever it was that kind of led them to the brand. And essentially, Cup, we wanted to set out because we couldn't find a bra that women didn't have to compromise with, meaning you can find a bra that maybe fits you, although that's pretty limited, and we'll go into that. Or you can find a bra that might support you, but chances are it doesn't look good, and essentially you have to compromise between one of those things. So we set out, how can we create a product that is, you never have to compromise between fit, function, and style, but then also with looking at the current zeitgeist of where we are, from a brand perspective and who women want to identify as and how we want to identify in terms of our sensuality and what we're looking for from an intimates brand. So we just saw a really big opportunity from a product perspective and from a building a community perspective and then like a brand positioning perspective as well.
So what's behind that compromise that's existed for, I'm guessing, a pretty long time? Why is there a compromise in most of these products?
This is a very interesting space and category that has a lot of issues, and I think some are quite apparent to consumers and some are not. I think a lot of the brand positioning of some of the large market players and incumbents is very apparent to customers and the consumers in terms of being out of sync with the current zeitgeist. I think there's some other issues that are not, such as how bras are designed and manufactured, that have led to some real structural issues that all translate into a pretty, you know, underwhelming customer experience. And so, you know, for us, it was trying to fit, you know, the thesis of what we wanted to do on paper sounds quite easy, right? Great looking product that works, is supportive, with a brand story well told, executed well, and direct to consumer. To execute it is really hard, and a lot of those issues do emanate from the supply chain and how bras are designed and built. They're very complex to make. There's multiple parts in a bra, and you're solving for fit where you're really trying to solve for perfection, right? In terms of, if you've got a white t-shirt, it can be fit forgiving. You can have, you know, it doesn't have to perfectly mold to your body. Where a bra, you're dealing with an infinite amount of body shapes and sizes. And, you know, to really have a good customer experience, it needs to fit really well, but also look good. And that's really hard to do. They're very technical. And so that to us was sort of the interesting thing to try and figure out how to unlock. And it's very challenging to do so. We have 40 sizes, and we're kind of scratching the surface. And I think that says everything versus shoes, right? Just in terms of the multitude of just different body shapes and sizes, if you want to service the market appropriately, you need to have a real breadth in sizes, and that's hard. And I think you see that in a lot of brands today, especially newer brands, but a lot of also the old incumbent brands have a real narrowness in sizing because it's hard to do. And that leads to, unfortunately, again, a pretty underwhelming experience for customers when you can't find a bra that looks good in your size. So it's akin to shoes in terms of you need lots of sizes, you just need infinitely more.
And on the, there's also one of the things we saw to kind of unpack the like style, aesthetic, and shaping trend as well, and support is like, We're changing in terms of how we want our shape to be positioned. You know, we're changing in terms of the clothes we wear. There's like a big kind of trend that's maybe moving a little bit like normcore in some kind of industries and fashion, but also like in bras, like we're, as women, embracing our natural shape and feeling really great about that. And that's kind of the uptick you've seen in the bralette trend. And it's something that the structural thing is a bralette over...
What's a bralette?
Sorry. So a bralette is essentially a piece of fabric that's a lot more technical than the traditional bra garment, traditionally without underwire. And it's set to kind of minimize and really started a trend that was allowing to be shown under clothes and be kind of like an accessory to your outfit versus something that's just supportive and kind of hidden, which was traditionally the bra prior to that. So essentially we're seeing this trend in bralette and women want to embrace their natural shape and not be squeezed or pushed up. And essentially that the bralette doesn't support over a D cup or larger. It just functionally doesn't work for women in those who have bigger breasts. So essentially being able to create something that fits on that trend and allows to kind of embrace that natural shape, but actually support some work was something that we really cared about as well.
Looking for older episodes of American Fashion Podcast? Well, we actually ran out of space in our feed, so we have archived them, and you can find the archive at AmericanFashionPodcast.com. Archive is in the main menu, and that'll take you over to a platform where you can subscribe to the archive and support the show. That's AmericanFashionPodcast.com for all the past episodes.
So I think that most women think that the natural shape won't give them support.
Yeah.
Right? So, but that's not true.
No. Yeah, not at all. And I think that really comes down to kind of, you know, it was one thing that we at Cup, I mean, we did 18 months of R&D prior to even launching the brand. And it really was, how can we allow women of all different sizes to have this similar experience where a 34B embracing your natural shape is very, very similar to a 38G. And the materials, we're not adding extra excess padding or material. We're keeping this minimized but very supportive shape. And that was through, you know, our co-founder, Kristen, and the team really looking into like, where are the innovations of fabric and we have one called Power Mesh, and how can we make sure that it's super supportive, but also really lightweight and not restrictive?
So so I have two of them now, and I feel like you've solved a multitude of problems, but I also read that you did all of this in 2 years' time, right? There was 2 years' preparation. So is that true? I think I read that in
Forbes
yes. magazine. So I think there's a lot, you know, this is almost like a case study, and I want to talk more about the product. But the fact is, it seems as if you came out of the box. I mean, I went to your showroom or salon, however you refer to it, and had an incredible experience because you also hired a complete expert because this young girl worked for Linda the Bra Lady, which everyone knows her in New York. She's famous. You know, and then the fit is right, the bra, you don't even feel like you have it on by the end of the day, and it absolutely doesn't move, and it looks, you know, subtly sexy, and the colors, like, are absolutely beautiful and don't show through clothing, on top of which you ship it in a beautiful box. and I have to say, nobody's paying me to say this, but nice I mean, hear. Part of what, you know, so you, and you mentioned it before, you've hit it from every angle, you know, product, performance, marketing, branding. Like, how did you do that in 2 years?
I think we came at this with a thesis about what we wanted this to be. And for Abby's comment earlier, this is one of those industries where, you know, you really are well served by putting, you know, a lot of kind of smart, talented people in the room that are addressing different things. And at its heart, we wanted to have great product, great brand storytelling, and strong execution in a direct-to-consumer model. I think we could have spent years tinkering with product because it is just so hard to do well. And what we were aspiring to execute against in product, we felt was pretty high. And, you know, I think, you know, we've 2 years is a lot. I think we could have spent more time on it. And I think what we're learning now is we're making, you know, we're never tired with what we have. I think we're constantly making small tweaks and adjustments based on what we hear from customers. You know, we launched our bras in one of our silhouettes, which is called the Scoop. You know, we heard from customers very early on that in a 30 band, for example, they needed more adjustability on the strap. It's a small example, but it's something where you hear that. And so, you know, take that in, make that adjustment, and move forward. And so at some point you have to like launch. But we spent an infinite amount of time on really getting these sort of four silhouettes right. And we only did four silhouettes because we felt it was the right curation to, you know, have every bra you need in your drawer. But it also allowed us to lean into sizes and to be able to launch with 40 sizes, which is really important. And I think a lot of you see a lot of new brands in the category. And I think for the most part, and not sounding too overly critical, you know, where they fall short on is product and sizing. And, you know, launching with 15 sizes just doesn't cut it in our sense. And we wanted to spend the time and make sure that we got them right in every size. So we felt 2 years was a long time. I think a lot of brands probably spend a lot less than that, and also having a manufacturing partner where we just have real agility. We could turn a sample around in 24 hours, where I think it probably takes you 8 weeks if you don't have that relationship. And that allowed us to kind of compress the time frame accordingly.
Right, even just changing your product can take you, you know, another year.
Yeah.
So actually,
yeah,
2 years. I mean, having worked with, you know, some emerging designers, it's like 2 years is really fast. But I mean, is fast. Yeah.
Does that mean you're manufacturing locally?
No, we're manufacturing in Asia, but our manufacturing partner has, we have our own sample room, our own technical design, and so we can turn a sample in 24 hours. Pop it in the mail and ship it over. They're very small to ship. And so having that agility, being able to move quickly is just really, really important. And again, if we're constantly looking to sort of make the product better, having that mentality of just being restless about it and always thinking that you can do better with it is so important. And it's how we want to be thinking about product.
And it really allowed us to challenge kind of the R&D for product, meaning most people are able to do about 12 to 18 fittings in order to change their product, and we did close to 80. And we were also able to, most people or most competitors will essentially fit on one body size that's kind of the medium of and then essentially what they call grade. So scale the product up and down based off of this one fit. And we were essentially able to fit on like 10 different sizes and kind of scale in between those sizes because of this manufacturing relationship.
It's actually a really important point. This is one of those topics you can go down a rabbit hole for hours, but it is actually the unlock in this category when you really, when you sort of step back and understand what the pain points are. This is actually super important. What happens is most brands size on a 34B, and that's actually not the median size at all. You know, 2/3 of US women are a D cup or higher, and they will size in a 34B and then grade on a linear line, like 10 different measurements on what is a curved body. And what often happens with that is, you know, what manifests is that bigger sizes, you get excess coverage on a bra. And so if you're buying into a silhouette and into a brand and that brand point of view, and you see an image on a 34B, and when you're buying a 34F or a 38G, you're buying a fundamentally different product because the proportions are out. And, you know, we sort of think it's lazy manufacturing. You have to do the work and tailor the sizes and tailor the proportions on every size. And it's painful to do. You have to do, we did like 80 to 100 fittings to get it right. But we like that we did that because, we see it in the testimonials from customers. They're really happy with product in their size that they're getting that is proportionate to them and not this 34B that's been graded up and is kind of, out of proportion, out of whack with their size.
I think it's great that you're giving depth and size because I think another pain point is just too much of an assortment, whether it's online or you're walking into a store and how you're making the decision. You know what I mean? So I think the focus is great.
I mean, we wanted to go in with an extremely edited assortment and really focus on the silhouettes and focus on very specific kind of editorial color drops and just have a really strong perspective on both silhouette and style and then also color and different things versus like just adding more SKUs and then kind of not being consistent. So yeah, if we can keep the bras consistent and the experience and the product looking the same from a 34B to a 38G, like that's kind of our mantra.
So how does the video chat work and how is that working from a conversion standpoint?
So you can get fit in person in our office. You can get fit on the phone or we do live video chat, which you can schedule on our site. It's really effective. I think we have a 95% conversion rate of people who get fit. It's pretty extraordinary. And I think that there's a bunch of reasons for that. You have to have really good fitters. They are experts in their field. They come at it with real empathy. I think anecdotally, what we hear from, we'll have done about 1,000 fittings, sort of in our, live on video or sort of in our fitting room. And for the most part, those women haven't been fit before. Or the last time they got fit was when their mom took them to Victoria's Secret in their teens. And it's it can be a deeply emotive experience. And I think it can be it's quite a foundational experience. And that's coupled with, I think, the vast majority of women who get fit are wearing the wrong size. It is a truism that 80% of women are wearing the wrong size. We see it. And so it's tremendously effective because I think, what we hear is, when you put a customer in the right size and you've got great product and great bras, that is a great experience, and that's why we're converting so highly on it.
I mean, it's intimates for a reason, right? It's one of the most intimate conversations and experiences you can have. So to kind of emphasize what Kiernan's saying about like leading with empathy and emotion, like they're we call our fit experts fit therapists because it is it's a sense of therapy, and people go in and it's hard to be fit by another woman and also be told kind of like, you're wearing a size generally that's bigger than you think that your actual size is, right? Generally, you're a cup bigger. And essentially, like, there's a lot of size stigma and a lot of, like, different things emotionally that are attached to that. So I think kind of leaning into this and carrying that through the brand narrative and just, like, really anchoring an emotion is a big thing that we're focusing on at Cup.
How do you deal with people who aren't symmetrical physically?
Yeah, that is. So essentially, our fit therapist has been doing this. She did it. She was a fit therapist at Journelle. She's been doing this for like 15 years or so. And essentially, she will size to the best of her ability. And then if there's different things that she might recommend, it's very specific and personal to the person.
We put together 4 silhouettes to address different neckline preferences and also different body shapes. And not every woman, not all 4 silhouettes don't necessarily work for a person. Sometimes it's sort of 3 out of the 4 or 2 out of the 4. Different silhouettes do work differently with sort of different and do fit differently with different body shapes and sizes. And so I think we have customers that are, we have 4 silhouettes, the Balconet, the Plunge, the Demi, and the Scoop, and our 5th we just added called the Triangle. And we have, we have a woman that, the Plunge is, their bra, and they're a Plunge woman. And we have like Balkané woman, and there's plenty that sort of show up across those silhouettes. But I think that's one of the manifestations of sort of asymmetry or different body shapes is, you know, different silhouettes do work differently or work better for you or not as well for you.
So you're having good conversion online, but you're also obviously, which you said was like 95%, you're probably having 100% conversion with the by appointment. So you're mentioning fit experts. Is there a plan to have more of them, you know, and start to do that in some other way across the country? Or can you talk about it or what?
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot of interest in terms of how we can utilize an educational platform, which we call Body Talk, which is about, it's a conversation around things that are inherently female and things that feel very intimate. How can we leverage that as a activation for fit and kind of tap into a community, whether it's like grassroots approach, whether it's kind of combining with like social communities and activations, like I would say like a Glossier has done and some of the other D2C brands, and then actually bringing on kind of like a force in different metropolitans, like a sales force of type that are fit therapists coupled with kind of like field managers or brand activators to really kind of like ignite local interest for CUP.
You know, we've done a lot of we tried as many fittings as possible. It's a good thing for the brand. We really believe in our product. The experience is you know fantastic for customers whenever we get feedback on it. And so we try and activate fittings wherever we can. So we do a lot of office pop-ups. So we'll take our team, we'll go into a Glossier or a Vogue or Harper's Bazaar or a Goop, and we'll pop up in their office. We'll do it around happy hour often. We'll pre-schedule 30 fittings. We often get 30 customers out of it. And it's a great way for us to kind of get our brand out, for people to kind of touch and feel product. And we really believe in it. And so I think, you know, this is a category where advocacy matters. And so, you know, that having that human element is sort of really important. And so, you know, we don't have stores. This is a category where having stores in the future makes perfect sense. I don't think we need the big, you know, the massive theater of a Victoria's Secret store. But having a place where you can have a tactile experience with product and get fit is really interesting to us at some point. But I think any opportunity we can have to sort of activate physical fittings in market in the, you know, in New York, we've flown the team out to LA and activated events in LA and have, you know, we've done a bunch of events out there, and I think we'll continue to do that. We really believe in it. It's good for the brand. It makes sense. And again, advocacy in this category really does matter. So having those people, you know, convert to kind of CUP customers, they then tell their friends, we like that.
And we call our kind of tagline or marching orders is we support you both figuratively and literally. And so we're supporting with a bra, but how can we kind of take that and expand with this community as well? It's exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So you talked a little bit about before about supply chain, and you know there was a traditional way of making things. But something you had said that I also read was that you had to get some people, you know, you uncovered a lot of issues and then you really had to get some manufacturers to break the rules. Like, what did they do that was so different?
What I mentioned before where, you know, there's a reason brands fit on a 34B in grade because it's easier for manufacturers. So, you know, if you're fitting on a size and then you're taking several measurements, I think it's like 10 or 12 measurements, and there's a line. You know, so if a 34B, the mathematical equation to get to a 34D is X based on these sort of 10 different measurements, it's easy for a manufacturer to set up their manufacturing base and their supply chain when you have those simple rules. To break those rules, you have to change grading, and that's hard. And so, you know, it's unless you're really big as a brand, getting manufacturers to sort of acquiesce to those changes is impossible, unless you have like a sort of unique relationship with one of those sort of supply chain partners. We have that. It's one of our biggest investors, and so you know they were commercial enough to sort of understand that breaking rules would would allow us to, you know, create a differentiated product and brand and positioning. And so, you know, that's sort of an example of sort of breaking rules, is really changing how we size and grade different sizes. And don't start in a 34B, start in a 36E and a 34B at the same time, and come at it with a philosophy of how do we make these two bra sizes identical to those customers from an experience perspective, proportionately, no unnecessary slings or double padding or wings or whatnot. Don't think about that customer as an afterthought. Start with that person, you know, as a starting point. So,
and also breaking the rules again with fabric. It's just, you know, the manufacturers weren't used to working, and the factories weren't used to working with these types of materials. Like, traditionally, we have lace, and, you know, we have padded bras and memory foam, and we really wanted to look at power meshes and different things that were not traditionally used for bras.
And that's a big message. I mean, for people, you know, it's also, you don't, as far as the grading, there's like industry standards. And then as far as what women wear, it's like, I think we've just accepted what's out there at this point.
Totally. Yeah.
So it's like letting people know that you don't have to have certain things.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that there's not only one way for support is really important.
Yeah, and redefining kind of how we think about those materials, as understanding how supportive they can actually be, yet still lightweight and minimal. That's a really big unlock for us.
So these are performance fabrics more?
Yes.
Yes. It was really important to us we really wanted a nail unlined. Lightweight, high performance. And high performance meaning it's supportive, it fits well, you don't know you're wearing it, but it's doing its job, right? And it's sort of interesting. I think if you look at Victoria's Secret back in the early 80s, you know, it was primarily unlined, but they were kind of capped out at sizes because the fabric didn't do its job. And there's been a lot of, you know, innovation and progression with the technical attributes of fabric since then. But to be perfectly honest, padded bras are just more forgiving as a brand or manufacturer. They're more fit forgiving. You know, you can be in the wrong size and it's okay. Unlined bras are just less fit forgiving. But we think they're a far better and sort of enriching experience for a customer when you don't know that you're wearing it, when you have less stuff on, but it still works. To be perfectly honest, that's what took the most time, was to really kind of nail fit with unlined. It's just harder. It's something we had a lot of curiosity around. It's something that, you know, just as a team, you know, Abby, Lauren, Kristen, it's sort of what they wanted for themselves. And so we wanted to solve that.
So none of your products are padded?
None.
No.
Kathy, you went and experienced the fitting procedure. How did it go? What was your experience?
Okay, so first of all, I'm very visual. So the office is like dreamy. Okay. I mean, it's exactly the way these bras are designed and the colors that they're offering. Like, they're saying performance fabric, and that might make you think of something, I don't know, kind of clinical, but they're, yeah, Gore-Tex, exactly. You know, it's kind of, so the presentation overall of the bras, it's, I guess there's like a seaming or taping outlining the bra that is just a slight different shade than the actual color of the bra. I don't know if that makes sense. I'm going off into a tangent. But in any case, so the product itself is the first piece of the appointment. That's amazing. And then Tanya, mm-hmm. Is that her name?
Yep.
She just started asking me questions, and she saw what I was wearing and, you know, just pulled out some bras and put them on. And it was, you know, I've gone through this before. So for people that are listening, I do not have, you know, I wear a very, very small bra size. So I'm small. And I think 3 years ago, I went into Victoria's Secret and they actually put me into a D cup. And the only way for me to be in a D cup would be if I filled it with, I don't know what. No, it was crazy. And
that's insane.
No, I know it's insane. It's insane because on the sides, you don't want to have any of your skin, if you're not perfectly toned, some of your skin can roll over. Oh. So they went to the next cup to get the width on the side, I think. And I'm not usually easily intimidated, but I was like, I came home with these things and I looked like a crazy person. So Tanya is, you know, the experience, it was a very short appointment, but she was lovely, knew what she was doing. And I left with these beautiful bras, and the office is, I mean, the whole environment is right. I mean, I think this is what it's things like this are experiences that are solving a problem, you know, that are great from the beginning to the end that makes you make a purchase. And the price, I don't think I said that. It's under $100, which is, I think, is brilliant.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I really appreciate you hearing this. We do, I think, that end-to-end consumer experience and just thinking about, like, every single piece, the meticulous detail that goes into the packaging and, you know, the products, as we talked about, the experience of being fit, like, really anchoring it all in kind of emotion and what we want from a modern-day brand, that was really kind of, you know, we're constantly challenging every single aspect of it, like, emails, digital, everything, and just making sure that it really feels cohesive to that kind of like overall message.
So what do you wish you knew about this industry going into it that you didn't know? What do you wish now that you knew?
I think it's been really, from the get-go, we've had so many experiences talking to our customer and really involved our customers in kind of the brand narrative, whether it was friends and finding out what it felt like to take off a 38G and how it felt matronly on the floor and exactly the experience that they were looking for, to friends that just felt, you know, might be small band, bigger cup, which was my experience, and just felt completely ignored and always just had to kind of compromise on whether it was like actual fit or actual support because there was just not options out there. I think like having more of those conversations faster would have been really, really helpful at the beginning because we didn't have the bandwidth or the tools to be able to have that two-way conversation. And I think that like as our social expands and our digital channels, but then also just like manpower in terms of customer service and all of this, I think like just that kind of like R&D loop and just trying to figure out how we can incorporate feedback faster is something I wish I had thought about. Yeah.
I mean, for me, obviously as a guy, it's sort of less personal of an experience, but, I suspected this coming in and it's been kind of overwhelming in a sense, which is it is a deeply emotive category. And when you have, you know, we opened up a fitting room in our offices and, you know, that's not the most efficient thing to do, but it was really important to hear and speak to customers. And I think, you know, we came at this with a thesis that this was an emotive category. And we like that because if you do a good job, you can create resonance, build relationships, build loyalty. And, you know, I think just the sort of magnitude of that has been, you know, pretty impactful for me. Like we're, you know, nothing, there's sort of no greater feeling than when, you know, someone comes in and I'll sort of speak to Tanya afterwards. And Tanya's kind of in tears because she's had an amazing sort of fit experience with someone and someone's walked off with a bra that they couldn't find before. And that part, I think, is the most rewarding for all of us because, you know, when Abby sort of said feeling ignored, I think there are just, you know, there's sort of swaths of the population that just don't have great experiences or options. And I've always been looking for that unlined plunge bra in X size and being able to sort of deliver that. And we've launched the 40 sizes. And again, I think we certainly have the intent to expand that. You know, it's a lot out of the gate and we want to do more. And so there's plenty of customers that we're not fulfilling right now with sizes that we're very acutely sensitive to. We hear from them and, you know, we want to sort of address that. But I think just that level of, you know, kind of emotiveness in this category is pretty eye-opening and pretty rewarding. I think instills a motivation to like do more.
Yeah.
And sort of do better.
I mean, it's amazing that people are looking for, like, we're in a time where we're looking for so much substance from both the products we buy and identify with and our brands. And I think to be able to deliver on that is, like, really exciting.
So the website is shopcup.com, C-U-U-P, cup. And if people want to go and get fitted, they can do that.
Yes, please come in. We can offer video fittings online. Go to the website. You can book an appointment if you want to come into the showroom in Soho. And we'd love to fit everybody.
Wonderful.
Great. Fun talking to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to American Fashion Podcast. On our website, AmericanFashionPodcast.com, you can find our Be a Guest form, as well as a sign-up page for invitations to our live shows, and a new feature, the archives. With roughly 250 episodes published, the old shows don't fit in our feed anymore, so we've made them available for a nominal fee. Please continue the conversation online. On Twitter, we are at AFPOD, and on Instagram, we are at American Fashion Show. And I personally am at Fashion Tech Guru on just about everything. For direct comments, give us a call at 646-979-8709. That's our voicemail line. Or email info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com. American Fashion Podcast is produced by Mouth Media Network, which holds the copyright to this and all other episodes, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends. Keep making things beautiful. Remain in force. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.
This is Mouth Media Network, audio for business.